Sara, who's a close friend of our family, and also since we just passed the Yom HaZikaron last week on Wednesday, I just also wanted to dedicate the Shir Liloy Nishmas Nishamos of the Kedoshim Mutahorim who gave their lives for Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, their Mesiras Nefesh should be a zechus for all of us in these ongoing troubled times. It's like there's never a moment of quiet, so and bear them in mind as well. The minhag at this time of year between Pesach and Shavuos is to study Pirkei Avos, and we actually when we began this year almost a decade ago, getting to that point remarkably. Well, we began with Pirkei Avos. And over the years, we've spoken about Pirkei Avos specifically at this time. And just to remind everybody, I've made the argument in the past that the study of Pirkei Avos at this time of year may, in a certain sense, be related to the fact that the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, we're told in the Gemara in Masachas Yevamos, on Samach Beis, and in the Bereishis Rabbah, were derelict, not so much in their Torah study per se, but in terms of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, the formulation of the Gemara in Masachas Yevamos is Mipnei Shelo Nagu Kavo Zelaza. The formulation in the Bereishis Rabbah is Einehem Tzara Elu Be'elu. There is a kind of an enmity, an animosity, a jealousy, a lack of respect. And Pirkei Avos is, of course, all about Derech Eretz, all about Kvod Chavercha, Kvod Talmidcha, Kvod HaAdam. And so we study one parak every Shabbos afternoon this time of year. Yesterday's parak was the third parak. So what I wanted to try to do today is to move through this parak. We're not going to cover every single Mishnah. That would be impossible in the amount of time that we have. But to move at, a relatively brisk clip and to make certain notes, things that I think are of central importance to consider, especially in light of Parshas Kedoshim, which we just read as well. So again, the third parak begins, Akavya ben Mahalal Alomer, Histakel b'shlosha dvarim ve'ena tabali de'avera. So a person should keep three things in mind. Histakel doesn't mean to have a visualization of. Histaklos is more than re'ia. It's to look at something and to try to internalize, to understand. And that's why when we talk about looking at things that are not appropriate to look at, we talk about an isser of histaklos. It's not just, one happened to go by a billboard, but again, to peer at something and to look in a more intense way. So histakel b'shlosha dvarim, ve'einata bali de'avera, dame ayin basa, ula'anata holech, v'lifnei miyata asid litein din v'cheshbon. First and foremost, to know your origins, and as we'll see, humble origins, la'anata holech, your ultimate destination, and also, lifnei mi, ata asid litein din v'cheshbon, in front of whom one will be called to account. Me'ayin basa, mitipas rucha, where have you come from? A little drop, which itself is not a drop, a pearl, but mitipas rucha. Srucha often connotes something foul. La'anata holech, where are you going? L'makom afar rima v'soleya, a graphic description of decomposition of the body. Rima v'soleya, so worms. V'lifnei mi ata asid litein din v'cheshbon, and in front of whom will you in the future have to give an accounting? Din v'cheshbon. Din literally means judgment. V'cheshbon, in accounting, your actions will be weighed. V'lifnei melech malchei amlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Mishnah Kipshut is obviously, what we would call in English to put the fear of the Lord into us, right? That we come from very humble origins, or we're headed to places, which, again, very graphically, I don't need to elaborate on the description, Makom Afar Rima V'Soleya speaks for itself, and also, the spiritual magnitude of each and every decision that we make. The Mishnah that I happened to study with my daughter this morning in the fourth parak of Blazer Ben Yaakov Omer, Ha'osa Mitzvah Achas, a person who does one mitzvah, Kona Lo Praklit Achas, has acquired for himself an advocate, a single advocate. Hosa Aveira Echad, somebody who does a particular violation, Konelo Kategor Echad, has acquired for himself not an advocate, but a prosecutor, somebody who will make arguments against the person. In other words, each decision that we make, each mitzvah is a proclet, is an advocate. Each avera is a kategor. And that, you know, that sense of judgment is something that we're going to have to deal with. Of course, we'll have to come to judgment in the final sense, but we're going to have to internalize the sense that every decision really counts in this world. That of course, is the surface level of this particular Mishnah of Akavya ben Mahalalel, and giving us a sense of humility and smallness, and again, vulnerability, lifnei miyata asid litein din v'cheshbon. That is the simple reading of the Mishnah. It has been noted, though, that there's another way of looking at one of the three clauses here, and to put a little bit more of an optimistic spin on what otherwise might be a very humbling kind of a Mishnah, which is to say, there's no doubt that me'ayin basa, the place from whence you've come, mitipa srucha, is meant to be humbling. La'ana taholech l'makom afar rima v'soleya is also meant to be humbling. But lifnei mi ata asid litain din v'cheshbon, in front of whom will you in the future give an accounting, as we said, that could be equally humbling, maybe the most humbling of all, but at the same time, that also represents not just shifluta adam, as they would say, but gadluta adam, right? The very fact that God takes an interest in all of the things that we do, and there's not a single thing that's too small for God to be interested in, is perhaps the ultimate statement of the significance of humankind, right? And that the fact that our lives are of such profound interest and inquiry from God's point of view, if we could use such terminology, doesn't only reflect, you know, man's smallness and man's humble origin, which is certainly part of the story, but lifnei mi ata asid litein din v'cheshbon, the idea of coming lifnai v'lifnim. We talk about Yom Kippur as an experience of lifnei Hashem titaru, or talk about tefillah as amida lifnei hamelech. The very fact that we have an audience, right, to put it in, you know, completely incomparable, but, you know, maybe this is the best analogy that one can do. If one is a private in an army, you know, the chief of staff of the army, you know, the leading general in the army is not going to be, you know, asking you, you know, what you did, you know, at 7:12 and then 7:14, right? He's got bigger issues to worry about. And yet, the Melech Malchei Amlachim, right, Hashem Tzivakos, right, the chief of staff of the Jewish forces, right, is interested in every private, no matter how humble, you know, every, bottle washer and cook. And that, I think, itself is a very inspiring idea. Just to skip to the end of the parak, just to establish, that point in, I think, very concrete terms. So if you take a look, I have the Yitzchak Yair with the Hebrew version. It's page 249. This is Mishnah Yudches. It's a statement of Rabbi Akiva. Hu haya omer. Igor, where is it in the English Hebrew? You see Chaviv Adam Shenivra Betzalem. I apologize that we're using two different texts. So Rabbi Akiva says, Chaviv Adam Shenivra Betzalem. Right, that every human being is chaviv, is beloved, because he or she has been created in the very image of God. There's no such thing as insignificant human life. And I'll take it a step further, and no matter how reduced a person is in terms of the quality of his or her life, Tzelem Elokim is an inalienable property of human life. Every moment of life is precious. I don't mean that in hyperbolic terms. I mean that literally. So, chaviv Adam shenivra b'tzelem. So again, lifnei mi ata asi litein din v'cheshbon, the fact that we all have a spiritual accounting to make, Jew and Gentile alike, right, that did we achieve our spiritual purpose in this world, that itself is godless ha'adam, the greatness of man, man's potential, man's capacity, unvarnished. Chiba yisera no da'as lo, this is a subtlety, that this sense of being beloved has been made aware to human beings, as the pasuk says, "Ki b'tzelem Elohim asar Adam." God did not want this to be a secret. That's why it's explicit in the Torah. God wants us to know. Chiba yisera no da'as lo. God wants us all as human beings to understand our significance. God does not want us to walk around with the erroneous assumption that our lives are devoid of consequence or significance. Now, even within that context, however, it's important to differentiate between various forms of spiritual mission. Chavivin Yisrael shenikru vanim lamakom, that even within the context of the beloved nature of all humanity, and I can't stress that enough, Chavivin Yisrael shenikru banim lamakom. Chiba Yisera nodas lahem shenikru vanim lamakom shenemar banim atem ladunoy elechem. I'm going to quickly read the next clause, then I'm going to come back to analyze. Chavivin Yisrael shenitan lam kli chemda, chiba yisera nodas lam shenitan lam kli chemda shenemar, ki lekach tov nasati lachem, torasi al ta'azovu. So here we have that over and above general Tzelem Elokim, Klal Yisrael is being identified as having two additional forms of chiba, two additional forms of intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first of which is Nikru banim lamakom, that they uniquely are described as God's children. And if I would permit myself to go a little bit further, even in the Mishnah, as the Torah says in Parsha Shmos, Ko amar Hashem bini bechori Yisrael. Right? That even if we talk about all of humanity as children of God, bini bechori Yisrael, that even within that context, the Kadosh Baruch Hu's bechor, right? Im einata l'shaleach es ami, says to Paro, Hinini horeg machar es bincha bechorecha. I will cut down your bechor. That, of course, is a reference to makas bechoru. So the idea is that Klal Yisrael have a unique intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the second point, if there are two dinim, bless you, within that intimacy, the second point, did anybody pick up on it? It's not just that we're nikru banim lamakom, but what's the additional form of chavivos here?
Torah.
Very good. Shenitahan lahem kli chemda. According to the rabbinic tradition, as it's stated here, Shebo Nivra Ha'olam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world through the prism of Torah. Exactly what that means is probably beyond our full understanding, but there is an idea that Torah preceded the world's existence. Hashem Kanani Reishis Darko Kedem Mifa'alav Me'az, that the Torah's existence is primordial. And here again, you have the idea that Klal Yisrael is endowed with two distinct senses of additional intimacy. Again, to review, number one, the fact that we're nikru banim lamakom, and number two, the fact that we are the recipients of the Torah. Asher bachar banu mikol amim, v'nasan lanu es toraso. So the question that I'd like to pose is, are these not synonymous? Is it not the fact that we were banim lamakom, that we were uniquely close to God in terms of bini bechori Yisrael, the consequences of which is that God chose us to be the nation of the Torah? Now, that's the way I would have put it. I wouldn't have necessarily separated these two into distinct clauses. And yet Rabbi Akiva does. Rabbi Akiva says that even though all humankind is chaviv adam shenivra b'tzelem, that's where we started, that when it comes to Klal Yisrael, there are these two additional dimensions, chaviv and Yisrael shenikru banim lamakom on the one hand, and again, chaviv and Yisrael shenitam lahem kli chemda. So I'd like to just pause for a minute to consider, half a minute, 1 minute, to consider what exactly is the differentiation between these two forms of chavivos. And on the one hand, again, banim atem l'Hashem elokeichem, and on the other hand, shenitam lahem kli chemda, ki lekach tov nasati lachem torasi al tazovu. What exactly is the implication of separating these into two distinct clauses?
Well, it seems to me that, I mean, there's clearly a lot of overlap, that one could precede the other, that, you know, because Israel has the Torah, they're Banim Atem LaHashem, or because Banim Atem LaHashem, we get the Torah. I mean, the other thing,
But again, you would still admit within that context that there's some deep relationship between the two clauses.
Yeah, no question.
But just before Paul goes on, let's just, you know, to help substantiate Paul's point of view. It is true that the pasuk that I've been quoting, even though it's not the pasuk in this Mishnah, "Bini bechori Yisrael," is said long before Matan Torah. Right? The Kadosh Baruch Hu identifies the Jewish people as his bechor when they are yet in Egypt, and that's why he says to Paro, right, "Im ma'ina tala shaleach esami." If you refuse to send out my bechor, then I'm coming after yours, quid pro quo. So there is, I think, a very strong argument to be made, and I was going to try to make that point to myself, that the status of banim precedes the fact that the Torah has been transmitted uniquely to us. Okay, go ahead, Paul. And yet another point.
Well, I was just gonna say that there's also this idea of the brit with the avot, you know, as sort of a foundation upon which all this rests.
And that the Bris Sinai and the Bris Avos, as the Rav pointed out, may be two distinct things.
Okay.
So that's a very interesting idea. So maybe we could just develop that a little further. Gavin, did you want to add to that? Eric, was that your hand? I thought I saw my peripheral vision. Yes.
Well, the second one, the Torah, is also an exchange relationship. God gives, we accept. So there is that element as well going on.
I think it's a longitudinal.
I want to return to that in just a second, because I think that's a very important concept. And then Stephen and Eric.
I know that one of the interpretations of the beginning of Kumi Tereshit is that Tereshit was the creation of Bnei Israel and the world. Those were the reasons for the creation of the world.
Right.
And maybe this represents the
Bishvil Rashis, Yisrael, Shanikru, Rashis, Rashis Tabua. So, right.
But maybe this also refers to the fact that initially you had to form a grid with individuals. But the Torah is something that could only be given to a nation and on. And that's maybe the difference in the view, is that initially it was establishing a family who would be able to receive the Torah, but the Torah was really given to the nation.
Very fascinating. Even though, you know, even as members of that nation, we continue to retain that identity as Banim. Okay, very, very, very important point. And Eric, thank you, Steve.
The connection just popped off in my head. Yesterday, I was learning down in the basement with the kids about Parshas Kedoshim, the third pasuk of the parsha, which says Ishimo
Ve'aviv Tiro Ve'shab Sosai Tishmoru.
And then why are those two juxtaposed? And I see the exact parallel. This keyword Avaim is established in a paternal relationship, so it is maybe not necessarily the one way. I forget who said the one way point.
It's right over here.
Okay. It is a sort of a back and forth of obligation between, you know, parent and child in the same sense, or at least a parallel concept. And then Shabbatai, I think the concept of Shabbat can maybe be viewed as a stand. It's you know, from Torah and perhaps it's you know, an example of the Chukim and Mishpatim that we're.
So, you know, just to sort of aggregate so many of the ideas that have been suggested, I think they're all independently true. And to put it in maybe slightly different terms, but I'm not convinced that we're really saying different things. I admit to you that I say the following with some degree of trepidation. It seems to me that it's not merely that, chronologically speaking, we are banim before we are the recipients of the Torah, which I think is an important point to make in the background here. But I might go even a step further, and again, I go a step further with trepidation. I believe that Rabbi Akiva may be suggesting that the special intimacy that Klal Yisrael experiences with the Ribono Shel Olam over and above Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem is completely unconditional. Meaning, Chaviv and Yisrael Shenikru Banim Lamakom, the relationship between parent and child at its core, every parent aspires that his child, her child, should be a good person, should be a productive person, be someone that the parent can take pride in. And yet, anybody who's a parent knows in his heart or her heart that even if none of these things were true, the feeling of love, loyalty, devotion, and commitment, the bond, would yet be there. And so that first clause, 1 second, Urshel, the first clause of Chaviv in Yisrael, Shenikru Banim Lamakom, Banim Atam Lashem Elokeichem, yes, it's true, it precedes the fact that we received the Torah. And I say it with some trepidation, but I believe that it's even independent of the extent to which we make a Kaddish Baruch Hu proud, which we ought to do through implementation of the Torah. As the Pasuk says in Parashas Bechukosai, Ve'af Gamzos And even if b'yosam be'eretz oyveihem, you'll be in the land of your enemies. Lo me'astim v'lo ge'altim osam l'chalosam l'hafer briti itam. I will not utterly reject them to destroy them because of my covenant with them. I am Hashem, your God. The idea is, even if we're completely undeserving, our status as banim, Kadosh Baruch Hu's children, creates a certain reality. And then, layered on top of that, of course, Chaviv in Yisrael, Shenitan Lahem Kli Chemda, that we can aspire to so much more than simply falling back on our paternal relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and aspire to, you know, live up to that pasuk in Yeshayahu, Avdi Ata, Yisrael, Avdi Ata Asher Becha Es Pa'ar. That not only are you my banim, but you're my loyal and faithful servants, right? You'll do everything that I ask you to do, right? An eved can't fall back on an eved. If he doesn't do what the melech says, you know, he's going to be out of work, you know, to put it, you know, euphemistically, right? Banim have that certain luxury. So again, I would, as we say in Yamim Neraim, im kebanim, im ka'avadim, so I would align, you know, these two clauses with that type of a model. Herschel.
Question of how does disappointment affect the way the Bunchman feels about us? It's not quite. Disappointment is it borders on on pride. The Bunchman is very angry at us when he's disappointed at us, and the judgment is greater than would be from a person to a person.
At one level, that's true, but the rachamim is also greater.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
As the pasuk says in Parshas Kisisa, in the wake of the Egel Hazav, which is really unforgivable, right? Right after Matan Torah, the whole point is that we were extracted from Egypt, so we shouldn't be involved in Avodah Zarah. We just read Shabbos before last, Kema'asei Eretz Mitzrayim, Asher Yishavtim Balo Sasun, that we were meant to be extracted from that. And then literally at the foot of Sinai, we're engaged in this act of Avodah Zarah, public act of Avodah Zarah. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Heref mimeni, if you'll just leave me alone, v'ash midim, obviously signaling to Moshe, don't leave me alone, I can't bring myself to do this. Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun. So again, Klal Yisrael, we're not deserving. Lo b'tzid kasucha, anachnu ma'pimim tachnu nemi lefanecha, kel rachamecha harabim. We don't have delusions about our own deservedness. And yet, you know, the sense of mahu rachum, af atah rachum, the only way that we can try in some sense to pay that back is to be compassionate in our dealings with other people, because we understand very well, too well, that we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim on an ongoing basis. So again, the idea is that there may be greater disappointment, of course, because it's divine law that we're disregarding, and sometimes flagrantly so. And yet, on the other hand, the sense of rachamim is greater, long beyond the point that we could expect a human being to continue to have compassion. Kadosh Baruch Hu continues to have compassion, and continues to have compassion, and continues to look the other way. V'chazdi, as the pasuk says, v'chazdi lo asur me'imo, I will never withdraw my chesed from him. Now, that being said, the idea that we're developing, that the not just where the perek begins, but the shiflus ha'adam, as we said, and on the other hand, the godless ha'adam, that we do get that private audience, lifnei mi'ata asid liten din v'cheshbon, and chaviv adam shenivra b'tzalem, I think expresses itself in at least two more mishnayos. Let's take a look. Again, go a little bit out of order here, but we're developing it thematically and not so much in order. If you take a look back at the Mishnah Tesvav, Rabbi Lazar HaModai Omer, and I'd like to make a following inference based on this, induction based on this Mishnah. This is the 15th Mishnah, Rabbi Lazar HaModai Omer. HaMechalul HaSakachim, somebody who disgraces and desecrates, is a better word, desecrates sacred offerings, kadshim, right? Sacred spaces, mikdash, consecrated offerings, kadshim, V'hamivazes hamoados, right? Somebody who denigrates, mivazeh, bizui, denigrates, shames, moados. Moados are kedushas hazman. Hamalbin pnei chavero birabim. Somebody who publicly embarrasses another person. We'll come back to that. V'hamefer briso shel Avraham Avinu. Somebody who abrogates the covenant of Avraham Avinu, the mitzvah of Bris Milah. The mitzvah of Bris Milah confers kedushas Yisrael. That's why when somebody converts, right, an absolutely essential part of the process is Bris Milah. To enter the Beis HaMikdash, a person needs a Bris Milah. Bris Milah is linked inextricably with Kachim. And somebody who denigrates the Torah by wantonly explaining it in a way that is not the intention of the Torah, even though we know Shivim Panim HaTorah, there are many ways of interpreting even one pasuk or one idea in the Torah, but somebody who wantonly interprets it based on his own agenda or her own agenda without regard for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, Shelo L'Shem Shemayim, Af Al Pi Sheyesh Biyado Torah Masim Tovin, even though all of these individuals could have learned a great deal of Torah and performed many masim tovim, ein lo chelek li olam haba, such a person, anyone in these five categories, again, hamechalas hakachim v'mazes hamoados, hamalbin pnei chavero, birabim, mefer briso shel Avraham Avinu, megalafanim batorah shelo kealocha, anybody in these five categories, af al pi sheyesh biyado torah masim tovim, even though such a person could have much credit to his name, nonetheless, ein lo chelek l'olam haba. So I'll just give you just 30 seconds just to look over this list of five and maybe find one that sticks out and to try to interpret how we may therefore reinterpret this one of the five to be more consistent with the other four. Yes, there's a list of five here. So I think one of the five, prima facie, and they're just looking at it, doesn't seem to fit in with the other four, right? And yet, maybe that question itself will lead us to a new interpretation, a new understanding of that one of the five. Steve?
Well, I mean, they not only the four, but the
okay, excellent. Right, so you picked out the correct one. So Steve was noting is that Mechala Sakachim Mevazes Hamoados Mefer Brisa Shel Avraham Avinu Megalafani Batorah Shelo Kelacha, disregarding the meaning of the Torah, Bris Milah, or the sacred areas, or Yamim Tovim. Those are all violations Bein Adam Lamakom in terms of one's relationship with God. But I might put it in even more particular terms. There are attacks on Kedusha, right? Somebody who attacks Kedushas Man, a holiday. Somebody who attacks Kedushas Makom, or Kachim themselves. Somebody who disgraces Bris Milah, which is itself, as we said, linked to Mikdash, linked to Korbanos. To be able to have Korbanos, one needs to have Bris Milah. To be suffused with Kedushas Yisrael, for a ger, there needs to be Bris Milah. Or one who desecrates the Torah, which is, of course, the repository of all Kedusha, the tool through which we access Kedusha. Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem lokechem. So how do we know what to do? So you have to read Parshas Kedoshim and the rest of the Torah. So I think all of these things have very clear and direct relationships with Kedusha. And yet, hamal ben pnei chavero berabim, that's a ben adam lechavero, and it doesn't seem to reflect at least prima facie Kedusha. But Doug, go ahead.
But if we're created in Tzelem Elohim,
so then it's okay. So there you have it. That's exactly the point that I've been trying to build up to, right? This idea that there is such a thing as godless ha'adam. Lifnei mi'ata asid liten din v'chesh. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't interested out of curiosity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested because of that Tzelem Elohim. And where there is godliness, there's also the potential for desecration. And a person who shows no regard for that humanity, but that humanity that we know, in some sense, and we say this with great care and caution, in some sense, that humanity itself reflects divinity. So a person who disregards that, And is malbin pnei chavero birabim and publicly humiliate somebody. So that too, this is again my way of bringing the one to the other four, and thus synthesizing all five together. That person shows lack of sensitivity, to put it mildly, in terms of what kedusha is. If you just wait 1 second, Moshe, I'd like to tie that in to yet another mishnah in the parak. So if you take a look two mishnayos back. This is a comment of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Huaya Omer, Kol Sheruach Habrios Nocha Heimenu, Ruach Hamakom Nocha Heimenu. V'chol She'ein Ruach Habrios Nocha Heimenu, Ein Ruach Hamakom Nocha Heimenu. So the Mishnah literally means, if a person is pleasing, I don't mean unprincipled or obsequious or willing to do anything to get a vote, but Kol Sheruach Habrios Nocha Heimenu, a person who authentically conducts herself or himself in such a way that people are impressed, people have a good feeling about dealing with this person, people are even inspired. Kol sheruach habrios nocha imenu, he's pleasant. Ruach hamakom nocha imenu, so God takes pride and is pleased with such a person. And conversely, God forbid, if somebody who is unpleasant to deal with, so God finds that person unpleasant as well. So of course, at one level, this reflects the fact that Ben Adam L'Chaveiro and Ben Adam L'Makom have to be synthesized. If you read Parshas Kedoshim, you're just struck by the fact that when the Torah says you should pursue Kedusha, the Torah says this is then how to do it. Tabril called Das B'nei Yisrael, V'amartam Kedoshim to you, Ki Kedosh Ani Hashem Lokechem. So how do you do it? So immediately the next pasuk you have Ishimo V'aviv Tira'u, right? The quintessential Ben Adam L'Chaveiro parents, V'ashab Sosai Tishmoru, right? And then you have to keep my Shabbos. Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, Ben Adam L'Makom. Right, al tifnu alilim velohem asechalo sasu lachem. Can't do avodah zarah ben adam makom. Next pasuk v'chisis v'chuzavach shlamim l'Hashem lirtzonchem tizbachuhu. That when you bring korbanos, it has to be with the proper kavana ben adam makom. Four pesukim later, ki techala patzad chal liktzar. So we have the isurim of disregarding the ani lager. Right, v'char mechalos alel ferik har mechalos lakeit. It applies to your vineyard as well. Ani Hashem elkechem ben adam lechaver ve'at le'reicha kamocha ben adam lechaver lo sisnas achicha belvavecha ben adam lechavero. On the other hand, eschukotai tishmoru veged kilayim shatnez lo yalecha. Right, the iser of kilayim back to ben adam lemakom, etc., etc. So they're completely integrated. So that's one level in this mishnah, is that you have to have right a sense of the integration of both. But if what we're saying is true today, then we may even be able to go to a next level. It's not merely that one has to develop an organic and holistic religious personality where Ben Adam L'Machom is seamlessly integrated with Ben Adam L'Chavero, and then we don't perceive them as two distinct areas. But maybe if what we're reflecting on today is the Gadlus HaAdam, the sanctity of human beings, the Tzelem Elokim in human beings, so then if a person is disrespectful, a person has no awareness or consideration for the brios, kol mi she'en ruach habrios nocha heimenu, then that person is demonstrating himself in a very clear way to be insensitive to tzelem elokim and to be insensitive to divinity in this world. And so God's reaction, of course, is ein ruach hamakom nocha heimenu, because assaults on human beings are not merely assaults on humanity, but as I like to say, if humanity reflects divinity, and God sees that this person has no respect for Tzelem Elokim, kol mi she'en ruach habrios nocha himenu, so then it's not that, okay, then God is upset on behalf of that person, but it becomes a direct assault on ruach hamakom, and I think that one follows from the other, and we should do our best to, of course, practically speaking, these are two different areas, but conceptually speaking, I'm trying to challenge that notion and to make a very strong argument for humanity reflecting divinity. Yes, Moshe, you've been waiting.
Yeah, I have a question about humiliation law. Two-part question.
Yes.
Just the introduction, we are that. If someone's done something wrong, if we don't say interfere, it is though we've done that. Now, in public, if somebody's doing something and we don't attempt to stop them, whether it's public humility, whether physically, are we not charged with that that person does, because it could save a life? And the second part of that, what if the person doesn't perceive it as being humiliation? They just simply
then the problem.
These are very, very good questions, and really require a lot of thought. Let me just give you broader guidelines, even though specific situations really require very particular adjudication. So the Rambam says in the Sefer Mitzvot, when he talks about the mitzvah of tochacha that we read about yesterday, ocheach tochiach asamisacha. So the Rambam says that if a person has an attitude that live and let live in the negative sense of that term, meaning okay, so I'm living my life and she's living her life, and I have no investment in what my fellow Jew is doing. So the Rambam says about that, zeh hefecha Torah. This person is not just in violation or failing to comply with the mitzvah sasei of tochacha v'ocheach tochiach samisacha, but the person has somehow missed the entire thrust of the Torah, which is to not be for yourself, and not be only for yourself. Im ani la'atzmi ma'ani, as the Mishnah says in Avos, if all a person cares about is himself or herself, so that, that reflects a kind of a spiritual narcissism which is entirely objectionable. That being said, the practical implementation of a sense of concern for the welfare of the other, echpatiyut lazulat, is a very delicate thing. And the Gemara Maseches Erchin tells us that there's certainly a mitzvah to intercede when there's a chance, even perhaps not a very strong chance, that the message will be well received. But kishem shemitzvah lomar davar nishma, just as there's a mitzvah to say that which will be heard, or there's a strong chance that will be heard, but if one has a very strong sense that this is not going to be appreciated, in fact it will alienate, and it will deter a person from reconsidering, because a person will feel embarrassed or attacked or assaulted or just the privacy invaded. Kach mitzvah shelo lomar davar she'eno nishma, right? That it's equally a mitzvah not to say, to remain silent, rather than saying something that could alienate. And here the Rambam adds in his Mishneh Torah Hilchos Deos that if a person feels that he was wronged, but can honestly get past it, maybe that really is the best thing to do, rather than open up a can of worms. If a person is going to be carrying a grudge around and, is going to be stewing, so then you have to open up a line of communication with the person, and that's always a better suggestion, rather than, the smoke coming out of the ears, etc. If one can honestly look the other way, honestly, bold and underline that, honestly look the other way, that might be the best thing to do. So those are just some general guidelines, even though there's a lot to be said. I should just add, in the halachic vein, there's a difference between violations of Dine D'Oraisa, or violations of Dine D'Rabbanan. There are differences between violations Ben Adon L'Chavero and Ben Adon L'Makom. There are differences in terms of private sins versus public sins. Sometimes, even if the person isn't really going to listen, but you have to make a stand in terms of something being done in public because it affects the community. I'll just give you a practical example of that, and we'll go on to Igor, then maybe finish with two last points about the perek. When it comes to our yeshiva and davening, so like all adults in the community, the children in our yeshiva, children, young men in our yeshiva, also have challenges with davening. We all have challenges with davening. So, one has to show some insight and discretion, right? Because if you're going to go around telling people to stop talking, so first of all, you'd never daven. But even, okay, so maybe it's more important than you're davening. But even beyond that, they're not going to listen, right? Because you tell somebody 100 times, it's just going to tune you out. Wait till you walk around. And then, so how do you make that decision? So one of the guidelines I try to use for myself, or let's say one guideline with two parts, is it affecting the general environment? So if somebody's having an open, voluble conversation, so just say it's just not respectful to the tzibur. That's different than somebody, who's not having, that's different than somebody who's having a private conversation, even though we all can agree that that's suboptimal. The second point I would say, to give a practical illustration, if somebody is reading a general studies textbook, which I think everybody here knows I support in other contexts, it's a perfectly fine and good way for a person to spend time in school, but right, if people are going to do that openly during davening, that of course detracts from the environment. It shows a disrespect For the davar shatzibur asukin bo, to use the expression of the Gemara Maseches Brachos and Daf Chafam Beis towards the bottom, that you have to show a modicum respect. So if a child is or a young man is sitting there, you know, meditating or philosophizing, really don't have a problem with that. But again, to show open disregard for the tzibur, that those are guidelines that I try to use for myself in terms of the propriety of some form of tochacha. Again, never done in a way that reflects anything other than care and concern. And that should be the point that's emphasized most. Again, where is this coming from? If it's coming from the sense of the Rambam, that I'm not for myself, I'm for all of us. So just like, you know, if you saw an individual who was about to walk into oncoming traffic, I would like to think that all of us would do something about it. So if we have a sense spiritually that if we value a person's body, we should value his or her soul as well. And if it's clear to us that this is the spiritual version of oncoming traffic, hopefully we would care enough to say something. A person really has to believe that, and not, God forbid, for it to be coming from a place of tsaras ayin, to quote from what we said about Talmidei Rabbi Akiva before, a kind of animosity or hostility or enmity or any sense of, you know, the person. There are people in this world who take pleasure correcting other people. It's not even about religion. They would correct them about other things if you know, it wasn't in a religious context. So kavana l'shem shamayim, I think, is always important, and in this area, you know, like doubly or triply important. Igor.
Just about Moshe, then you can say something.
Midas Tov, right.
So the question is, if it's a privacy matter, I think it's Benoniyut, and then it's, you don't care that it is
Tov. Right, right.
It's the same thing.
Exactly, that's why Avram formulates the issue as Chamishim Tzadikim B'Socha'ir. Why did he just say Chamishim Tzadikim Ba'ir? But the idea is that if they're really righteous people, they'd been trying to be B'Socha'ir, they would try to help other people, have some kind of a... Yeah. Okay, so just to finish off with two final points that again reflect this idea of godless Adam, and then to try to summarize everything that we said today, tying together different Mishnayos in the Perek regarding the theme of not just the smallness of man, which is really where the Perek begins, but regarding the sanctity of human life. So there's a slight difference between two Mishnayos in the Perek. I'll just read it and try to make an argument based on different versions. So if you take a look back at the third Mishnah in the Perek, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion Omer, 247 towards the bottom in mine. Igor, what page is it in yours?
It's 247 in the bottom.
Okay.
557.
Thank you. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion Omer, Shnayim sheyoshvin bein binim divrei sora, harezem moshav leitim, shenemar moshav leitim lo yoshav. Shnayim sheyoshvin v'yesh binim divrei sora, shchina shruya b'neihem. Right? So that if two people are sitting around, and they're not, in the broadest sense of the term, connected to Torah, involved in Torah, so then it's a place of, well, Leitzim can often mean cynics, right? But when it comes to people who are involved in Torah, there's nothing less than a hashra'as hashchina, God is present. And this is not to, you know, be highfalutin, but this God is present right now. This is a hashra'as hashchina. That's why, in principle, people used to learn standing up before the days of Rabbi Gamliel, because when God is present, the Melech Malchim Lachem is present, people should stand. And that's why when we learn Torah, as Chazal say, it's supposed to be Be'yira, Be'reses, Be'zeya, Be'ema, that there's a certain, you know, we could all have a good time, but there's a certain sense of seriousness, because it's Shechina Shruya Yimayim. Shenemar, Az Nidbru Yirei Adonai Yishal Re'yehu, Vayakshev Adonai Vayishma, Vayikasev Sefer Zikaron Lefanav, Yirei Adonai Yechosh Reshmo, Ein Li'al Ashnayim. Minayin shafilu echad sheyoshev osek v'torah kadosh baruch hu koveh lo schar, shenemar yeshev badad, that even if he sits by himself v'yidom, and he's quiet in the sense he's not talking to somebody else, ki natal alav, that person will take schar. Okay, so I don't know if anybody picked up on it here, but there's a very important difference in the formulation, 2 verses 1. 2, the Mishnah said, shechina shruya imahem. 1, what did the Mishnah say? Right, that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu koveh lo schar, that there's a reward. But it doesn't necessarily say that God is present, which is a very fascinating thing. Skip ahead to the 7th Mishnah. Rabbi Chalafta ben Dosa, as opposed to Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, Rabbi Chalafta ben Dosa ish kfar Chanan yomer, Asara sheyoshvin v'oskin batara shechina shruya b'neihem. 10 people are studying Torah, God is there. Then it goes on to say, minayin afilu chamisha, minayin afilu shlosha, minayin afilu shnayim, minayin afilu echad. So that even if one person is studying Torah, the Shechina is there, shenemar, that every place that I will cause my name to be mentioned, let's say through the Torah, I will come, avo elecha. So what's the distinction between the two Mishnayos in terms of how they present a one person learning? According to the first Mishnah, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, if one person is learning, then what? Kadosh Baruch Hu gives them a schar. But, Eric, if...
It's determined from far away.
Exactly, but according to the second Mishnah, Avri Chalafta ben Dosa Ish Kfar Chananya, God is there. So what's the difference? Either way, you're learning Torah. Right, so how would we categorize this? Maybe according to the first opinion, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, we would have a dramatic expression of the idea that we're laying out today, that humanity reflects divinity, and therefore the absence of another human being to share the Torah with somehow diminishes the Hashras HaShechina. That is this is something of a radical idea.
No, but Kenneth's guide towards the community aspect.
Right. So, I wouldn't have said it. You know, if you'd asked me, you know, naturally, I would have said, of course, a person studying the Torah, that's Kadosh Baruch Hu's word. What could be a greater Hashras HaShechina, a sense of the divine presence? And yet, according to the first Mishnah, one can call that into question, especially in light of the fact that Rabbi Chalafta ben Dosa Ish Kfar Chananya felt the need to bring another Mishnah, revisit the same issue, and very pointedly, you know, reformulate. So I want to make that suggestion. And to conclude with one final point. Mishnah Hey, Rabbi Chanina ben Chakinai Omer. just to mention, is it okay if we go to like 10:03? I don't want to take anybody too late. We're not up against Rabbi Moskowitz's shir, so I feel a greater. No, I don't feel that I'm free to do whatever I want, but I do feel like, you know, maybe a 3 minute birth. So Rabbi Chanina ben Chakinai Omer, Haneor Balaila, somebody who stays up all hours of the night, somebody who walks on the path on his own, Umifana libo levatala, and somebody who actively turns his heart to matters of batala. To be mevatal something is not to be passive. To be mevatal something like bitul chametz, you have to actively be mevatal it. Or we talk about non-kosher foods being bitul b'shishim. That there has to be some counterforce that comes in to perform a bitul. So hamifana libo levatala doesn't mean that you're not thinking about anything, but it means that you're actively turning your heart towards things that are inappropriate. So the hareza mischayev benasho. So such a person is liable for his life. So neor balayla, presumably such a person, you know, is up all night, is removing himself, you know, won't be able to function properly during the day. Maybe will involve himself in inappropriate things at night. But just neor balayla, just staying up all night, the person is off the, you know, the sort of the beaten track of civilization. I mean, somebody who has a night job, because that's his routine and that's his way of contributing. But somebody who's, you know, up all hours of the night and then sleeps through the day, etc. What's that? Yeah. Mehalech baderech chichidi. And somebody who walks on the path by himself and thereby endangering his own life. And then the spiritual equivalent of that, somebody who turns his heart towards things that are inappropriate. Harezim is chayav benafsho. So I just wanted to conclude on this note, because I think this idea, right, all of these examples in the Mishnah really reflect the person who's failing to recognize the sanctity and the preciousness of his life. It's wasting his time, neor balayla, or endangering himself, mehalech baderech chichidi, means in a dangerous place. Or spiritually speaking, mefana libo levatal, a person who doesn't recognize the opportunities that exist in this world, spiritually speaking, that he has to physically take care of himself and put himself in the right community and put himself in the right framework for spiritual success, and then privately, internally, mifana libo, not livatala, but as we said, l'divrei Torah, that person, if something terrible should happen to him, that person would be considered liable for his own life. Harezem is chayev benafsho, because he's failing to recognize the godless Adam. So just to summarize what we said today, we started with Akavya ben Mahalalel, says, Hishtakel b'shlosh advarim ve'inat abali de avera, and, you know, two of the three really do reflect this idea that human beings, you know, we would think very small. Me'ayin ba'atem mitipas ruchal, anata holeich l'makom afarima v'soleya, v'lifnei mi'ata asi l'itein din v'cheshbo, n'ifnei melech malchem lachem, Kadosh Baruch Hu. We could interpret that to be, you know, oh boy, and, you know, we have to be prepared for that, and every decision we make counts. And on the other hand, right, it also reflects the idea that everything you do is significant. There's nothing too small. God takes interest. We connected that with Rabbi Akiva in the end of the parak, Chaviv Adam Shenev Rabbi Tzalem. We spoke about how Klal Yisrael seems to have additional dimensions. We are banim, maybe even irrespective of the fact that we receive the Torah, and then we're given the opportunity to have that preciousness, that Kli Chemda Shebo Nivra Olam, the idea of having Tzalem Elokim, the idea that there's a certain sanctity to human beings. Maybe that's also reflecting the fact that we have a list of five categories. People lose their chelek olam haba. Somebody who is mechalas hakachim, he desecrates the kachim, and he's mevazes hamoados, he denigrates the moados. The person who's mefer briso shalom avram avinu, a megala panim batara shaloke halacha, desecrates the Torah, the bris milah, all assaults on kedusha. But within that context is hamal ben pnei chaveru berabim, because he disregards the sanctity of each and every human being. And maybe that's the reason that we say a person who is unpleasant and you know, for people to deal with, kol mi she'ein ruach habrios no chaymenu, ein ruach hamakom no chaymenu. God doesn't find favor with that person either. Either because, you know, God is just, you know, zealous on behalf of the people, or perhaps more directly, that if a person shows disrespect for brios, it shows a lack of appreciation for Tzelem Elokim. Person doesn't take humanity seriously, it reflects his attitudes towards divinity. And then automatically, ein ruach hamakom, no chaymenu. This idea that human beings have this intrinsic sanctity means that we have to be, you know, very, very careful, very, very careful about, you know, taking advantage of the opportunities that we have in life and not being ne'or balayla, means staying up at night learning Torah, but staying up at night, you know, frittering away your time, and removing yourself from constructive human activities. Mehalich baderech yichidi, somebody who's, you know, walking in dangerous places, again, not taking seriously the opportunities he has, and mefana libo levatala, a person who wastes his time in the spiritual sense, hareza mischai v'nasho, because the person isn't taking himself seriously enough. And then finally, we noted that there is a difference between Rabbi Chalafta ben Dosa ish kfar Chananya, who says to one person studies Torah, God is present in the full sense of the term, shechina shruya imo, b'chol makom asher askira shemi avo ilecho v'erachticha, but that was different than the way it was presented by Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, who says, just a person receives schar for that. So why would that be? A person is learning Torah, why shouldn't he be rendezvousing with God? But the absence of another person, that additional Tzelem Elokim, an additional Tzelem Elokim that reflects Kedusha and sanctity, that itself may diminish on some level the Hashras HaShchina, the presence of God in that particular location. If that's all true, then a parak that started really with Shiflos HaAdam, you know, mitipa srucha makom afarima v'soleya, actually, in my view, ends up being a parak very